are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Eagles fans? It's Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Wednesday edition of the show. So like I said on yesterday's podcast, if you missed that or any of our other episodes this week, we've already done three. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on any platform or on LockedOnEagles.com and follow us on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE or at LockedOnBirds. Gino is on Twitter at Gino_LOE. It's Washington week. We're getting you ready for the Eagles season opener in D.C. this Sunday at 1 p.m. And normally Wednesdays throughout the last 2 years on LOE, it's been Crossover Wednesday. We'd normally be sitting down with Chris Russell of Locked On Washington, but crossovers have been moved to Thursday. So that conversation, that preview of the matchup behind enemy lines is still going to happen tomorrow, but since Wednesdays have opened up now on the network and on the podcast, I thought it'd be cool. We kind of did this last year every Thursday, so we're going to kind of switch it up now this year and do it on Wednesdays, and it sounds better. Wentz Wednesdays, we're going to do a Carson Wentz-centric podcast where we preview each week the matchup that he has against that defense and get into, you know, his performance throughout the season, because you can talk about injuries, you can talk about the playmakers on offense, the defensive line, the improved secondary, the coaching staff. What's going to make or break the Eagles season each year is going to be the quarterback. You ride or die with number 11. So on Wednesdays, we're going to talk about number 11, and that's what we're going to get into coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles. But before we get into that, we got to see what Carson's going to be working with on Sunday when it comes to who is healthy and who is not. Who's going to be out there for this team on both offense and defense? The Eagles' first injury report of the season comes out on Wednesday, and it's your typical Eagles injury report, loaded with important pieces of the puzzle on both sides of the football. Defensive tackle Javon Hargrave listed with a pectoral and hamstring injury. He did not participate in practice. I don't think Hargrave is going to play. Luckily, the Eagles have depth up front on the defensive line. You have Fletcher Cox still. You have Malik Jackson coming back. Brandon Graham can play inside, as can Vinny Curry and Josh Sweat. But it sucks because Hargrave was that big fish free agent that you signed in March. Don't think he's going to be ready for the season opener, but we'll see. Alshon Jeffrey also did not participate with that foot injury. I'd imagine Alshon is still out for at least a couple weeks. October is probably the timetable for number 17. Defensive end Derek Barnett, limited participant, did not have shoulder pads on, but was wearing his helmet doing individual drills. He's dealing with that hamstring injury. It's up in the air with Barnett. I'm more confident about the other three on this list playing as opposed to the last three I mentioned, Hargrave, Jeffrey, and Barnett. I wouldn't be surprised if none of them play. But as for right tackle Lane Johnson, he was limited with an ankle injury. Wide receiver Jalen Reagor, shoulder injury, continuing to rehab that. He was limited, and he had pads on. He was running through wide receiver drills. NFL insider Adam Kaplan thinks he might actually have a chance of playing. I would be a little bit more cautious. If he is going to be out there on Sunday, it'll be in a limited capacity, but that's exciting because that means he's not going to be out nearly as long as we thought. I think you should be guaranteed to see number 18, Jalen Reagor, at least week two against Los Angeles. He was out there on Wednesday with the receivers doing work, and then running back Miles Sanders practiced with the team for the first time since the beginning of training camp with that hamstring injury. So I think it looks pretty good for Lane Johnson and Miles Sanders, and maybe even Jalen Reagor. It's all positive news with those three. For Hargrave, Jeffrey, and Barnett, I think all three will probably miss this football game. Doug Peterson, and look, the Eagles don't give out a lot of information on the injury status of these players. They never have, and they never will with this era of Eagles football from top to bottom organizationally. Doug Peterson would not commit to any of them playing week one. I feel good about Johnson and Sanders. Lane Johnson, though, is the big one I'm going to be watching because they need him out there. You already have Matt Pryor, you know, at right guard, and against this strong Washington defensive line with the likes of, you know, Chase Young and Montez Sweat and Ryan Kerrigan and Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen. I mean, they are loaded up front, so they're going to need Lane Johnson on that football field. If not, what are you going to do? Is it Matt Pryor at right guard and Jack Driscoll at right tackle, or vice versa? Is it maybe Pryor at right tackle and Nate Herbig at right guard? I mean, that is an issue. It's not Wentz's blind side, but if you have those two as your weak links up front right next to each other on the right side of the line, that's not good. They need Lane Johnson out there. Hopefully they're just being cautious with him and he will be ready, because Carson Wentz is already pretty shorthanded to start the season, but he has beat Washington with a whole lot less. I'm not worried about number 11. I think he's in for a big day on Sunday, and I'll tell you why coming up next right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. And guys, today's podcast is sponsored by NFL Game Pass. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full game replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes. With condensed games, you can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best, like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Devontae Adams, and many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into Wentz Wednesday right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Segment 2, we got into the injury report. Segment 1, Javon Hargrave did not participate in practice on Wednesday. Neither did Alshon Jeffrey. Derek Barnett, Lane Johnson, Jalen Reagor, and Miles Sanders, all limited participants. Just another day as a Philadelphia Eagles fan. It's just crazy, you know, thinking about Hargrave specifically and Reagor and also Will Parks, the new safety that was placed on injured reserve. It's just crazy, and I think there's going to be a documentary one day. Get ESPN 30 for 30 on this, because how these players that are young and have never really suffered serious injuries in the past or consistent Sidney Jones-like injuries, they come into Philadelphia, Hargrave, Reagor, Parks, and you know, Rager's only been through college so far at TCU, but he was a healthy player. I mean, a huge part of the Eagles drafting him was his availability. And they all come in, and instantly, when they walk into the doors of the NovaCare complex, I don't know if something happens, instantly they get injured. It's just a really frustrating thing, but I think the key to the success of this season, as it has been with injuries the past couple years, they've been able to overcome that for a lot of reasons, but the main reason is elite quarterback play, whether it's from Carson Wentz or Nick Foles, and it's mostly been Carson Wentz. And I think I think we're in for a big Sunday, like we normally are when Carson plays Washington. He lives to destroy Washington. I love this matchup for him. Just listen to these numbers for Carson against this team since 2017. He's 5-0. He has a 69.2% completion percentage. He averages 292 yards per game. He has 14 touchdowns to 3 interceptions and a 111.1 passer rating. And honestly, I think some of his most crazy plays of his career have been against Washington. You look at that vintage play in 2017, week 1, where he's running around, evades 5 defenders, chucks it up to the heavens, 50 yards down the field, Nelson Aguilar scores the touchdown. That same season, Monday Night Football, I was live at that game. I've never seen an athlete live destroy a team more than Wentz did against Washington, where, you know, the red zone play in the right corner of the end zone where he gets drilled, and somehow while he's getting picked up and body slammed, Wentz puts it perfectly on a rope to Corey Clement in the back of the end zone, or where, you know, he gets gobbled up by the entire defensive line in that game, and then he finds a way to escape and gain the first down. Or just, there's so many vintage plays against this team that Wentz has had. Last year, that final game with 30 seconds left, the game-winning touchdown to Greg Ward, puts it up one-on-one. Ward mosses Josh Norman, or the touchdown to Miles Sanders in the right corner of the end zone where Wentz rolls right and he throws a fireball past 3 different Washington defenders. Only maybe 1 or 2 other quarterbacks could fit that ball into Sanders. One of the fastest, you know, MLB-like fastball passes I've ever seen in my life. Every time he plays Washington, he gives you 1 or 2 jaw-dropping plays, and he's beaten them every single time since his rookie year in 2016. He is on his A game every time he sees this matchup. So even without Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks up front, that is certainly concerning, but I think he can still shred this defense, especially the secondary. It's suspect at best. You know, Ronald Darby, who we're all familiar with, we all know how I feel about Ronald Darby. He is one of Washington's go-to cover corners this week. He's going to have to deal with DeSean Jackson. I'm telling you, I'm going to cry tears of joy the minute either DeSean, maybe it's John Hightower, whoever it is, maybe it's even J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, when they beat Darby on a double move down the field, and it's finally the shoes on the other foot. This is how I felt last year when Jackson was finally back with the Eagles, burning another team secondary, because he had done that so much to the Eagles in Washington and in Tampa. I'm going to feel the same way when the Eagles are finally beating Darby on double moves as opposed to him costing the Eagles because he can't cover those sluggos. That secondary is not good. And I think DeSean Jackson, Jay Jaw, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, you got John Hightower. You might not have Jalen Reagor at full strength or on the field at all, and you don't have Alshon Jeffrey yet, and Miles Sanders is a little banged up. But they have enough on the field on Sunday to where Carson Wentz can have a big day. And I want to see him move around the pocket, not just because he might have to because of the right side of the offensive line, but I want to see him where he left off last year, getting more comfortable doing what he does, and that's extending plays, and especially outside the pocket, giving these burners even more time to break away down the field. I think there's going to be a lot of big plays on Sunday. Wentz was the top-rated passer outside the pocket last year, and another thing why I want him to extend plays, that's just who he is, that's why you drafted him. But last year, like, the results show the Eagles are better off when Wentz does this. He has the third highest passing grade from Pro Football Focus in extended plays, which is when you have 4+ seconds to throw. So I am really excited about Wentz's matchup on Sunday against Washington. I think he should be able to go off with the weapons he has available and with the matchup. I think he's ready to go. And again, he lives to beat this team. He has not lost to Washington since 2016. Again, 5-0, a 69.2% completion percentage, 292 yards per game, 14 touchdowns, only 3 picks, a 111.1 passer rating, and all of his crazy plays, or at least most of them, have come against this football team. Louis DiBiase joining you on the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's Wentz Wednesday, and it's brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar. You're going to be able to find 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones. You got caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry Garcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. My favorite are orange vanilla and peanut butter. They're just a healthy alternative to what I normally eat, whether it's a bag of potato chips, whatever, a zebra cake. You know, I have my guilty pleasures, but Built Bar feels like that guilty pleasure, and it's got 19 grams of protein. It's super healthy, only 180 calories, gives you a lot of good energy, and I need that for the overnights at the radio station. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. So use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for $10 off your next order. All right, welcome back into Wentz Wednesday. I really like this matchup for Carson against Washington. I think he's going to start up right where he left off last year, where he was dominant down the stretch when it mattered most. In the month of December, he became one of 6 quarterbacks to ever have at least 1,500 passing yards and at least 10 touchdowns. The other guys on that list, Peyton Manning, Tony Romo, Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. Those are the other guys. And now, and he was doing that with Greg Ward as his wide receiver one, with Deontay Burnett and Robert Davis and, you know, Joshua Perkins. So while, yeah, you might not have a healthy Reagor or Alshon Jeffrey or, you know, a 100% Miles Sanders, just getting DeSean Jackson back alone, I mean, DeSean has such a good matchup against this Washington secondary that he tore up last year, week one, for 154 yards and 2 huge 50-plus yard touchdowns. So DeSean alone with Ertz and Goddard is enough. But the fact that you're going to have Miles Sanders likely out there and Greg Ward and with John Hightower is just another speed option, I think he has enough to go off. And it's great to see that this team is really rallying around Carson Wentz. I saw today the Philly Voice tweeted out that article from Joe Santoliquido. And of course, you guys know Santoliquido as the writer of that Carson Wentz piece a couple of years ago where, you know, quote unquote, a bunch of anonymous sources were talking bad about Carson and about his leadership ability. They were really criticizing him. And those same sources, apparently in this new story by Santoliquido on the Philly Voice, have said that they've seen Carson really make an effort to reach out to guys and to become a more of a hands-on leader. And that even the people that were criticizing Carson and questioning if he could be the leader leader of that football team, they're rallying around Carson. And while I do agree that Wentz has become an even bigger leader last year, especially not just on the field, but off the field. I mean, you saw the way he got all those young backups to rally around him in the heat of a do or die playoff scenario. Every week you had to win against NFC East rivals, like in divisional games, you needed to win with practice squad players. And those practice squad players, they looked up to Carson and you could see how much they wanted to play for number 11. And you saw Wentz really will that team into the postseason. And you can see how the locker room has really, and not to say that he wasn't a good leader before, you know, 2016, 2017, 2018, but there were so many different leaders like Malcolm Jenkins and, you know, still guys you have now, Jason Peters, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham. But last year, you really saw Carson become more of a hands-on leader rather than what he was before that. And I think that was lead by example. And right now, he's still not the rah-rah Jenkins, Brian Dawkins type of guy where he's going to, you know, give that kind of motivational speech in the huddle, like a Ray Lewis type of thing. But you could certainly see him building guys up on the sidelines and all those mic'd up segments and really being more vocal. And off the field, too, you see what he's been doing in the community now with this Black Lives Matter movement. He's been all in on supporting his teammates and communities across the globe. And he really didn't do that for the first couple years because you had guys like Chris Long doing it for the team, speaking for the team, Malcolm Jenkins, Rodney McLeod. So I agree with this article to the point that Wentz has certainly grown as a leader. What I don't buy is really where this story started in the first place, what these anonymous sources were saying in the first place, that the majority of the team saw him as some bad, selfish leader, like some bad leader that was selfish. When that first piece came out, everybody who was anyone with this organization backed Carson, saying that he was a good leader. Any prominent starter on offense or defense, you had coaches, Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, you had front office members. I mean, everybody that had an important role on that Super Bowl team was not agreeing with this story. What I took issue with, too, in the story was that the writer had so many different Wentz hit pieces in the past. That was really all he had wrote beforehand. And he took a lot of non-quoted shots at Wentz in the article. You know, he called him at one point a Teflon ginger. It was just very, I take issue with how unprofessional I think that story was handled. And I don't know who those anonymous sources were or how many there were, but he probably found a couple guys that maybe confirmed his view. I'm just very skeptical of the legitimacy of these pieces and of these sources who are cowardly and won't put their name to these comments, kind of like Alshon Jeffrey the past couple years. But yes, I get the point where some players took issue with Carson kind of shutting down a bit after his injuries in 2017 and in 2018. And you even heard Darren Sproles once let him have it, kind of said that you weren't stepping up enough and it was kind of woe is me and Carson was really down. And Sproles said, like, you've got to carry yourself in a better light in front of this team. So I'm not denying that Carson certainly had a rough patch when he went down. I mean, what human being wouldn't when you were going to be the MVP and you were going to lead your team to what they eventually accomplished, which was a Super Bowl title, and somebody else does that in 2018, supposed to be your revenge tour, and then you get hurt again, and that same quarterback takes your team on another magical run. So any human being would have kind of been down with the bad luck, the string of bad luck that Carson dealt with. But that, like, what I take issue with that first original story was that it almost made it seem like that's who he always was in the locker room, and that's just who he is. And yeah, maybe a source or two, a player or two, took issue with Carson and the way he handled himself those 2 years. I mean, again, everybody that was anybody backed him up and said he was a good leader. And even Nick Foles, I was reading Foles' book the other day, Believe It, and Nick talked about how instrumental and supportive Carson was during those playoff runs in the quarterback room. So I don't agree with the legitimacy of the post and with all of the comments. And I'm telling you, I have a good feeling that he's going to start where he left off last year, play-wise, production-wise, but also as that leader. That's the one thing I do agree with is Wentz has taken another step as a leader. He's evolved in that way. But I don't want to make it seem like he was at rock bottom in that part of his game before last year when that first story came out, because I don't agree with a lot of what was in that story, right? They said that, like, he was bullying Mike Groh, when that's just not true. You know, they go back and forth in the quarterback room and they test each other, and that's what has always happened. Frank Reich used that as a positive, and that was my thing, was there were so many positive traits about Carson that in that story, because it was supposed to be negative, they were shaped and worded differently to make it seem like they were issues that were holding back that football team. So I think Carson is ready to tear up on Sunday on the field, and it's awesome to see this team really rallying around him and embracing him as the face of this team and the leader of this football team. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Wentz Wednesday, be sure to subscribe to the show. We've got the crossover Thursday edition of the podcast tomorrow with Chris Russell of Locked On Washington. So we'll get into all the matchups and all the details that you need to get you ready for Sunday. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. We're always talking birds after the podcast at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.